know, one of the privileges we have in the faith is to exercise our words in agreeing with God's word and agreeing with the workings of God's power. How much more beautiful experiences we'll have in the place of prayer when we like to speak God's word, what he has said, even before we pray. I know my prayers are answered. I know I have God's attention. I know his ears are ever open. I know he's ever with me. I know he's walking in me. I know he's walking through me. I know he will never leave me nor forsake me. I know he's my source of help. I know I can never be stranded because he's my help at all times. I know he's my confidence I'm boasting. And I know I will never be ashamed. I know come what way I prevail. I know his ability with me overcomes. I know more than a conqueror is what he has made me. I know I prevail at all times. So I will not be afraid of news that comes from outside. For there is good news that treats my heart. The good news of his mercy. The good news of his glory. The goodness of his goodness. The one that never leaves the one behind. He's the one that fights on my behalf. He's the one that has secured me. My destiny is in him. He is my destiny. He is my praise forevermore. So I can give thanks at all times. For I know my Redeemer liveth. So my help is constant. My assistant never fails. I know he is with me and is walking through me. So songs will never cease from my lips. I will never be confounded again. I will never be ashamed. For he has made all things well. He has made all things well. He has made all things well. I will never have a down moment again. My head will never be down again. My head will be lifted up far above the traverse of this life because it never stops working on my behalf. He is my eternal comforter. He himself has become my comfort. He has become my assurance in the face of all challenges. So I stand strong and firm because he ever liveth to make intercession for me. He is my intercessor. He is my intercession. He is my advocate, the one who speaks on my behalf. He has spoken well concerning me. He has said I'm blessed. He has said I'm helped. He has said I'm healed. He has said I'm delivered. He has said I'm preserved. He has said I'm comforted. He has said I'm provided for. He keeps me by his mighty power. Even his own ability is what preserves me. So never again will I be afraid that I will ever fail. For it's too late to fail. He has put me on the winning side. He has made me victorious. Victorious is who I am now in him. Victorious is who I am now at all times. He is my confident and my constant assurance. The one who never fails. The one who never steps away from his own. He is my confident and my joy forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You must learn to speak psalms like that. You must learn, teach yourself to speak psalms like that. Words that the Spirit of God will give to you that will strengthen you and encourage you. Oh, will the answer come? No, that's the wrong thing to say. The answer is with you. For the only one that makes all things possible is with you. So all things are possible in light of what he has said. So be rest assured, it's not going to come to pass. It has come to pass already. So learn to rejoice and rejoice and rejoice and rejoice and rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. For all your rejoicing is taking delivery of what is. What is cannot cease to be. What is belongs to you now. What is part of all you are meant to enjoy now. Walk in it. Enjoy it. Make your boast in it. Let it be your confidence. Let it be your song. The Holy One has made you glad. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know our spiritual activities affects the ministry of angels? For as long as you act like one who is not victorious, their hands are bound. But when you learn to release yourself in joy, somebody says, how can I rejoice when I don't feel like it? But your victory is beyond the feeling. Your victory is beyond emotions. Your victory is seated on the Father's right hand. Your victory lives forevermore. So your feelings will catch up. You just step out in faith, knowing that rejoicing is what I was born into. Out of the womb of rejoicing is how I came forth. Learn to rejoice and laugh the enemy in the face. And all his traps and all his opposition will come crashing down. Come crashing down. you are declaring your victory in the face of all opposition. You are declaring your victory. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, we shout the devil down. 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 Hallelujah. When he comes to you and says, you will not have sufficient funds for that, you're telling, I see money coming. I see money coming. I see funds 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 coming. Glory to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never want. Whoa, glory to God. As long as the word says it, it's your reality. It's your confidence. It's too late for you to fail. The word has worked. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Some things are just reserved for when we come together. Amen. Some things don't happen until we come together. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians, we continue looking at the realities of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to read from verse 6. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're here tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody says, why is it that when a believer rejoices, it doesn't seem to make sense? It doesn't mix God. It makes God. It makes God. It doesn't make sense, but it makes God. It makes God at all times. It makes God at all times. It is joy unspeakable, unspeakable, and full of glory. Full of glory. Say, I see it sold. Say, I see it sold. I see it sold. I see demands for more. I receive demands for more. I see it sold. The first one is sold. The second one is sold. The third one is sold. I'm out of stock. I see more coming. I see more demands for more and more and more and more and more. More demands are made. More demands are made. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. When you rejoice, speak. Hallelujah. When you rejoice, that's the best time to speak. You are in the midst of victory. So learn to speak at that particular time. There's no greater expression of power. Learn to speak at that particular point in time. That's when you speak the most. Hallelujah. You are surrounded by God's power when you are rejoicing. That's when you speak the most. You are bold to speak. All confusion is gone. All the web of deception the enemy sprung around you is gone. It dissipates. Like smoke, it goes away. Now you are confident, you are conscious of who you are. You know everywhere you look, there is power. Everywhere you look, there is supply. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, we are having fun. We're having fun in the Holy Ghost. Martins, can you imagine? You are standing before God and he's telling Martins the things I heard today. I'm very sad. Can you imagine? I don't know what to do. No, he that sits in heaven shall laugh. He shall laugh. He is never confused. He's never confounded. He that sits in the heavens. That's why I bother to sit with him where he's seated. That's why we laugh at all times. The depression is gone. The depression is gone. The depression is gone. That cloud of depression is gone. Gone from you. You are free now. You can see now. You can hear now. Your faculties are open now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I see supplies everywhere. I see supplies everywhere. I see supplies everywhere. I see supplies everywhere. Woo! Glory to God. I see supplies everywhere. Everywhere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was within weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. So you see, Paul here explained to us the things we've been looking at in the four Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus. Paul is explaining it. And I said yesterday that Paul expanded the teachings of Jesus. So Paul is saying, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. The word enticing means persuasive words of man's wisdom. It's not a negative word. It means persuasive words of man's wisdom. But it's in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The word demonstration means flashes of light. So there are flashes of light that the Spirit of God gives you and I through the gospel that makes us put our faith in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. Now look at verse 6. Paul says, howbeit we speak wisdom. Which wisdom? The wisdom he just declared. The testimony of God is the wisdom Paul is talking about. So God's testimony is God's wisdom. And we said the wisdom of God is foolishness in the hearts of the wise and the prudent. Hallelujah. We saw all that this week. Okay, today is day 6, isn't it? We saw all that, how in the man's wisdom, they couldn't understand God's wisdom. And God's wisdom became foolishness to them. So, in chapter 1, when the Bible says that, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, that's a figure of speech. The Bible is a literary book. It's not that God is foolish. It's simply saying that God's wisdom seems like foolishness to the heart of those who don't believe. So, Paul says something in verse 6. Is, howbeit we speak wisdom. Which wisdom is this? The wisdom of God. We speak among them that are perfect or mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that comes to naught. So part of the difficulty or the challenges or the frailty or the futility or the wisdom of this world, that it comes to naught. There is no continuum. This is where it ends. It's a philosophy of men. It's not the eternal counsel of God. So he says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom of this world that comes to them. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto what? Our glory. So when he says God ordained before the world to our glory there, he's referring to our status as new creations. That God ordained that his wisdom is what will bring men into glory. What is that wisdom? The testimony of God in Christ Jesus. That's God's wisdom. Hallelujah. Are you following? So see what it says again. It says, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for at then only they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his what? Spirit. Remember what he said in verse 4? It says, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of God's Spirit and God's power. So that demonstration is the revelation of God's wisdom in the heart of man. That's what it's talking about. That demonstration is the revelation of God's wisdom in our hearts. You know, when you walk up to people that are very intellectually minded and you tell them you will believe the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, and on the third day he rose again, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth. First of all, he doesn't know where his heart is. He thinks his heart is what they call cardia, that beating thing on the inside. He doesn't know behind that thing that is beating is an invisible force called the heart. Hallelujah. So he believes in what he can see by the microscope, what he can feel by the stethoscope. what he can observe by medical equipment, he doesn't believe in the unseen man on the inside, the man that needs to get saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. So there's something about the activity of a man's heart that either embraces God's spirit or rejects God's spirit through the gospel. So the gospel being preached is God's spirit knocking on the door of man's heart. So he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So when I came, I didn't use persuasive words. I brought the word of God's wisdom to you. This is God's wisdom. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. That's the offense of the cross. We saw yesterday how the cross is a figure of speech for the sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows. Hallelujah. That's what the cross means. The cross doesn't mean that wooden beam that you saw in the Passion of Christ. No. That's a figure, a symbol of what happened in the invisible realm. The cross of Christ symbolizes the sufferings of Christ. So when God is talking about the cross, he's not thinking about the wooden beam. When men are talking about cross, they are thinking of a wooden beam. Let me say it again. Remember Galatians 3:13. Look at Galatians 3:13. We're looking at the realities of God's kingdom. So we said, God has his definition. Man has his own definition. Man's definition is man's wisdom. God's definition is what? God's wisdom. Say amen. So we are renewing our minds with the truths to understand God's definition. That's what we're doing. Galatians 3:13. Christ has, is that past tense or not? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made what? A curse for us. Let me ask you a question. Okay, let me read on. For it is written. So this is scripture that has been fulfilled. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, stop there. The B part is the purpose of Christ becoming a curse. Did anyone around the cross when Jesus was crucified see the B part? No. What did they see as Christ was crucified? This is an accursed man. Where did they miss it? That was the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So everyone who said he is accursed, they unknew their hands were close to God's wisdom. What is God's wisdom? That one man will be cursed, that others may be blessed. And those for whom he is cursed are also calling him cursed. Not knowing that they are the ones who are. So the blessed one became cursed so that the cursed ones can be blessed. That's God's wisdom. What is the fruit of that wisdom? It says that the blessing of Abraham. Who carries the blessing of Abraham? Who carries the blessing of Abraham? Christ. So through the cross, his sufferings, he was able to transfer or bring us into the blessing of Abraham that he may come upon the Gentiles. Before you start thinking of cars and houses, it tells you what the blessing is. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. So the promise of the Spirit and the promised Spirit, they mean the same thing. The promised Spirit through faith. Say, I have a Spirit. I've received the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham is not cast analysis. It is the promised Spirit. That's why Abraham kept moving. Even when he acquired some things, he kept moving. He knew that wasn't the blessing. Listen carefully. God is going to bless and he makes a promise. Listen. Can God prosper a man with physical things? Yes. Can that be the blessing? No. God is Spirit. What man needs, what man lacks, generally, that is equal for every man, is the Spirit. There are men who have finances, who have material blessed things that you can hold on to, who have acquired large, vast of land on the earth. So we're not equal when it comes to financial distribution. Where all men are equal is their need for salvation. Hallelujah. So the riches of God is expressed in a spiritual manner, not the physical manner. That's why when you come with Christ, there's no rich, no poor. There's no young, there's no old. There's neither male nor female. All are equal in Christ. Because all need Christ equal. Amen. Are you following? So this is God's wisdom. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It is so that the blessing of Abraham might come on again, that I might receive the promise of the Spirit to faith. Go back to that 1 Corinthians 2. Verse verse 10. It says, God has revealed them to us by Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. So we know the wisdom is talking about is continuing what he was teaching and explaining to us from chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I read from verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? No effect. Is the cross of Christ a physical thing or a spiritual thing? Thank you. So for it to have no effect, where should the effect be felt? On man's body or in man's heart? Thank you. So listen carefully. True words, the cross of Christ is communicated. We also call it the gospel. True words, the cross of Christ and its effect is communicated through the preaching of the gospel. So Paul is saying, that's why I don't need wisdom of words. Let me read on. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. So, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by its own wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Whenever you see the word please God there, is referring to faith. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please. How many remember that verse? For he that cometh to God must believe let me ask you a question. What did they believe in the Old Testament? Did they believe that God is? No, listen. What did they believe in the Old Testament? I taught you these things in understanding righteousness. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen are not made of those which do appear. Verse 4. What does it say in verse 4? Amen what? Go on. You cannot be here. I don't know Bible. You cannot be here. All this is I'm teaching. I expect a level of response from what we have looked at in the past. Did you drop everything we thought about understanding righteousness just like that? We spent weeks teaching it. Now, look at verse 4. For by faith, Abel offered unto God what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. The first clue is this. If Abel obtained a more excellent sacrifice, it's not the sacrifice you pay attention to. Look at how he offered by faith. If faith is substance of what he's hoping for, then the animal you saw in Abel's hand is not the sacrifice. Faith has to do with what you cannot see. So Abel offered by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice. The phrase more excellent was introduced in the book of Hebrews and is always a reference to the finished work of Christ. So he's telling you, if you saw an animal in Abel's hand and was about to sacrifice it, Abel's faith was not in the animal. Abel's faith in the world was what the animal represented or pointed to. I mean, you understand that? You cannot say somebody offered a lamb by faith. You can see the lamb. You have killed the lamb. There's no faith there. When the Bible says by faith he offered, it means though you could see an animal with him, his faith was not in the animal. There was something else his faith was in that you cannot see. So if you are with Abel, what will you see? A lamb. If you get to Abel's heart, what will you see? Christ. I mean, you understand? So, I said that to say this. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is doesn't make sense. Because the person that's discussing with you is started from verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of what they hoped for. It is the evidence of what they could not see. What did they hope for and didn't see? The resurrection of Jesus. So when he tells you about Abel, by it the elders, he now begins to tell you who the elders are. He mentions Abel. He mentions Enoch. He mentions Noah. And each of them did something that pointed to something not seen. Do you understand? So what they hoped for, they didn't see, was the resurrection of Jesus. But their faith was in that. So when you slot that into verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says, now faith, no, without faith in his resurrection, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is risen. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Should I go over that again? I should. Verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Before we read verse 1, let's see, let's look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed they were strangers and what? Pilgrims on the earth. Is the earth a physical place? Thank you. So if the earth is a physical place and they are confessing they are strangers here, that means they were claiming citizenship of another place other than the earth. Do you agree? Go to verse 35. Time will fail me. Where does that start? Which verse is that? Time will fail me to speak of. Which verse is that? 30? What shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of who? Gideon? Of Barak? Of Samson? Some of you are not happy. Samson is there. Of Jephthah? Of David? Also, and Samuel, and of the, so he summarizes, and of the prophets. Next verse. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises. So, people were healed. People were rescued from destruction. They obtained promises. Their faith was working. And part of the product of their faith was that there were promises, temporal promises that they enjoyed. They overcame armies of the enemy. In the midst of famine, they were supernaturally provided for. Hallelujah. Women received their dead raised back to life. Through faith, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. What were they doing? They were obtaining promises. Now listen. If they are obtaining promises, the promises are a pointer to the promise. So there were promises that were pointed to the promise. So why were women having their dead raised back to life? Because those who had their dead raised back to life, the ones that were raised would die again. But that they could be raised after people get to a conclusion that when somebody dies, it's over. And then the person came back was to let them know there's life beyond this. Hallelujah. Yes, so far. So they obtained promises. Then verse 39. And this all, having obtained a good testimony through faith, received not the promise. Can you see this one is singular, not plural now? Next verse. God having provided some better thing for us. What is that better thing? The promise. So that they without us should not be made. So there is they, there is us. They are the elders. Their faith was the substance of what they hoped for. It was the heaviness of what they did not see. What did they hope for they couldn't see? The reason why they couldn't see it means it did not become a reality in their time frame. Because Christ was yet to come. So their faith was in the resurrection of Jesus, which is the fulfillment of the promise of God. And that promise is the supply of the Spirit. Glory to God. You understand so far? So from verse 1, now faith is the substance of what they hope for. It is the evidence of what they didn't see. What did they hope for they didn't see? The resurrection. So every verse you're reading after, you have to read in the light of that. That's how to interpret scriptures. By it, this faith, the elders obtained a good report. So when they were closing their eyes to sleep, because those who believed slept, they didn't die. Those who didn't believe, they died. Are you following that? God's language is different. Any believer who leaves this body has fallen asleep. Anyone who doesn't believe has died. Okay. You remember when we look at kingdom reality? Is that what we're looking at? So, believers don't die, they sleep. The reason why they don't die is because they already made alive. When you say a believer dies, you are looking only at one component, his physical body. And it's more than a physical body. That is the house he lives in. How can you leave your house and we say you are dead? You move to another house. If you come to your house, we don't see you there. We don't say, ah. Huh? Sister is dead. The person has left this house, has moved to VGC, to Saleh, something somewhere. Is that in VGC? The person changed location, changed house. If you go there, you find the person there. That's why Paul told us, let us not sorrow like those that have no hope. We fall asleep, we never die. We have passed from death to life, never to die again. This body falls asleep. We are resting in God. Hallelujah. So can you see God's language? So faith is using God's language. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He can fall asleep, but he can never die. So even if a man dies and is in me, he will never die. If he was dead before and is in me, he will rise again. Jesus said so. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Jesus cannot lie, but you can lie. So be on the same page with Jesus. Don't lie. Don't say your father died. Say your father is sleeping. Because he will wake up. Hallelujah. Do you understand the language? It's not, see, it's faith, but it's not just to console you. It's actually a reality. A believer can't die again. You died with him. You rose with him. And when you rose, you have cheated death forever. That's the reality of the kingdom you were called into. We don't sorrow like those that have no hope. When believers fall asleep, we throw a party. Because the person you are trying to, you will cry because you miss the person, but the person you are crying over is jubilating. Particularly if you are living in this country. No more power failure. No more Lagos traffic. Particularly if you are in Lagos. SARS has ended. SARS has ended. No more fear. No more sickness. Nothing. You have just entered in the joy of your master. And some people are laboring here. Rise up. Rise up. Say, let me sleep in peace. Let me sleep in peace. Hallelujah. So, you see, so, verse 6 now. And it says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is risen. Are we together now? Are we on the same page now? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God. So faith in what? Faith in the resurrection. He that cometh to God must believe that he is risen. That he is who he says he is. His resurrection and the life. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. So those who sought him are who? The elders that obtain the good report. What is their reward? Verse 14. Read again. And trying to get to read context. Verse 14. God having provided some better. So God prepared better for them. He organized something better for them. Let me use Nigerian language. Better. Better day. Okay. And when he uses the word better day, that means all the exploits of David, all the exploits of Moses, all the exploits of the prophets, there's something better. That better thing, they couldn't enjoy without us until we came along, we received it together. Because Jesus came in our time frame. Hallelujah. So they without us could not be made what? Perfect. The word perfect means complete now. We are made complete now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good stuff. So we are together. So Matthew 13, verse 11. Glory to God. Let's do some work before we go. This he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Next verse. For whosoever has to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, for him shall be taken even that which he has. Next verse. Therefore speak I to them parables, because they seeing see not, and hear me they hear not, neither do they understand. Next verse. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by him they shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you see and shall not perceive. Next verse. For these people's heart is waxed gross. Always within context. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Can he be talking about natural eyes and natural ears? No. He just told you their heart is wax gross. So he's talking about the inner man. So he's saying the wisdom of men that is in their heart is blocking the wisdom of God from flowing through. That's what he's teaching. So what language was Jesus speaking? A strange language? No. The language of the prophets. That's the same language that Jesus is speaking. Look at Ezekiel 36 again. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24. Look at the language of one of the prophets, Ezekiel. Look at how Ezekiel speaks. So you see how God speaks. 36 verse 24. Ezekiel 36 verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Now again, if you are looking at the wisdom of men, land there for man is one country that is physical. But who is speaking? God. Who is God again according to Jesus? God is a spirit. So let's read on. See what it's about to say. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your stop. Clean water can't cleanse you from idols, because idols are spiritual. In fact, we cannot see idols in a man's life except in action. Idols are not visible. Idols speak of demonic influence. They are not visible, but they can be seen in a person's activity. So I will sprinkle clean water, and the kind of water I will sprinkle will clean you from filthiness. What kind of filthiness? Not the one that you can cure by having a natural bath. This one has to do with filthiness of the heart. And that filthiness, another word for it is you are into idolatry. Are you following? Look at God's language. He calls it water. See what it says again. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put where? Within. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. When you hear heart of flesh, means a heart that is yielded, that is not hardened. Look at next verse. I will put, is it not clear? What is water that will be sprinkled? My spirit. So what is God's water? What is God's water? What is God's water? John chapter 3, verse 3. So, because again, you are seeing how Jesus speaks. He is saying the same thing that the prophet spoke. Now, he is saying it the way they said it, but they are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed because their heart is wax gross. What does that mean? It means you cannot understand Jesus from here. You can understand Jesus from where? From here. Because he's using spirit language. That's why he will say in John 63, the words that I speak to you, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and life. So if you are trying to understand what I'm saying in the flesh, you won't get it. Listen, that is why for a long time, if you ever came in contact with that yellow book, you know the yellow book that did a lot of damage? You see that yellow book? I don't think you've changed the color to now. I think it's still yellow. With red writing in front. I didn't mention it too. Red writing in front. Where they were tying something besides a tree. There was one snake that was doing this. One snake like that. And then the fruit is an apple. Even the Bible doesn't say apple. So in your mind you are thinking it is possible for a man to eat something physical and now die spiritually. It doesn't make any sense. If I eat something physical, I should die physically. That's poison. So if something that I eat will cause death, it must be poisonous. But whatever I must have eaten that will make me die spiritually must be poisonous to me spiritually. It cannot be a physical fruit. It has to be what? A spiritual fruit. So tree, fruit, must be figures of speech. That's the fourth step. There must be figures of speech. Because when you get to the garden, you'll not be seeing tree. You first tell yourself, where is the fruit called tree of knowledge of good and evil? Have you seen that kind of fruit before? Where is the tree of life? Have you seen fruit called, this fruit is called life? Even in biology. Is there any fruit called life? So, Moses started Genesis, listen, using God's language. And he shows you the hardness of man's heart that they couldn't understand what he was saying. Now, if Moses speaks any other way, he will have to come to man's wisdom. And he refused to go to man's wisdom. This is God's language. What is God's language? What enters a man's mouth cannot defile the man. It is what comes out of a man that can defile the man. Which verse are we now? So, we'll come back here. Look at Mark 7. Look at Jesus' explanation. Mark 7 verse 10. Mark 7 verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Next verse. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban. That is, this gift is consecrated to God. And because that is all I have, what I could have given you, I will have given to God. So I can't take care of you again. Jesus was rebuking them that through their own commandments and their own traditions, they have made the commandment of God to no effect. What's that commandment? Honor your father and your mother. So they created another one that will counter that one. They said that once you have consecrated the gift to God, you just tell your father and mother, what I will have given, I have given to God. God is more important. He says, so you now, through your own commandment, you have made the word of God of no effect. That's what Jesus is teaching here. I just give you background. See what it says next. And you suffer no more to do aught for his mother and father, making word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you've delivered, and many such like things do you do. Next verse. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are those things that want to defile that man. If any man hears to hear, let him. When Jesus is talking like that, he can't be talking about the whole audience. Those who have ears to hear are those who, like a babe, receive the word of God. Everybody there has ears. Don't you have ears? So he that has an ear, obviously he's not talking about this one. He's talking about this one, which is the ear of your understanding, which is the same thing as your eyes of understanding. They do the same thing. Look at the next verse. And when he was entered in that from the people, disciples asked him concerning the parable. So they said, they didn't. They were like, we are lost at sea. Tell us. Look at what Jesus said. He said to them, are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing entered, whatsoever thing from without enters into a man, it cannot defile him? Yep. Because it enters not into where? His heart, but into his belly, and goes out into the drought, that's into the convenience, purging all meat. Next verse. And he said, that which comes out of a man, that is what defiles him. Do you get it now? So the tree that they ate came from where? Inside of Adam and inside of Eve. That means the choices they made, which is in their heart, that is what defiled them. Hallelujah. Do you agree? That is the wisdom of God. What's the wisdom of men? Adam had apple. Eve had apple. But you have been eating apple since. And you have not sinned. Neither did you die spiritually. Otherwise, none of us will be eating apple. Hallelujah. So, look at how they forgo, or they left the wisdom of God for the wisdom of God. So, go back to John 3. 3. Look at what Jesus said. Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Again, why did Jesus use this illustration? Because Jesus knew that Nicodemus was a ruler of Israel. He was a teacher of Israel. And he ought to have read Ezekiel 36. He ought to have understood that God's water for cleansing is Spirit. He ought to have known. Hallelujah. So, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Except a man be born from above, he can't see the kingdom. Except a man be born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom. So, what is God's water again? Spirit. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Again, Man's wisdom, God's wisdom. A man's wisdom is Jesus, a reservoir of water. You know, I'm just saying that because is Jesus a reservoir of water? So if you are thirsty and you are looking at Jesus, will you go there? Is the test he's talking about, is it natural test? No. Is it everybody in Jesus' audience that is naturally thirsty? No. Is it everybody that is spiritually thirsty? Yes. Are we in agreement? So when he's talking, listen, let me give you, next person, let me give you an addition. I'm preaching to people. And I say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But they are standing in front of me. Where will they come? Come where? Come unto me. So this is Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you a take load. It doesn't make sense. So come unto me is figure of speech for believe. Heavy laden is spiritual language for you are laden with sin. Hallelujah. You understand? Come unto me. How will you come to Jesus? By believing. Could you come to Jesus when he was preaching? No. You can only come in his resurrection when he has risen from the dead. Are you following? So most of Jesus' sermons were sermons that spoke about the future, what he will accomplish. That's why when he was saying things like, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye. Okay? When he says, bless them that curse you, love them that persecute, pray for those that despite you and that persecute you, that you may be the children of your father. When he was saying it, God was not their father yet. And what he was saying, they could not practice until he rose from the dead. That you may be children of your father, who causes his rain to fall upon the just and upon the what? Unjust. Matthew 5, verse 45. Could they walk in it? No, it was for the future. Most of his sermons were for what? The future. In this manner, pray ye, our Father, who was in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And he said, your kingdom has come. You know, he hasn't yet come. And when it comes, your will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. What will happen when it has come? In that day, it will give you your daily bread. Not aggregate bread. Your daily bread. Bread that is sufficient for you. Because since there's bread at aggregate, Jesus cannot be bringing physical bread for you again. If he's giving you bread daily, what if you don't like bread daily? What if your own food is rice? And when you want to pray, I just say, stop. I know what you want. Bread. Take bread. This is your daily bread. I guarantee you, I give you 2 weeks. By day 14, say, Jesus, I don't want bread again. Let's change diet. So he cannot be talking about physical food. So when you have daily sustenance in natural food, the Bible now says the bread that God gives is spiritual sustenance. And that spiritual sustenance is forgiveness of sins, deliverance from evil, being able to overcome temptation. It's spiritual in it. That is always necessary, sufficient bread. That's what he gives to you. Could they receive that at that time? No. They wouldn't receive until Jesus did what? Rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we getting it? So, the language of Jesus, come unto me, all ye that labor. Were they laboring? Yes. Could they come as he was standing? No. When would they come? When he rises from the dead. I will give you, not I give you, I will give you rest. That's the language. Hallelujah. So most of what he would do was what he was preaching. Those things were yet to be done. That's why that John 7, 37, that we just read, on that great day of the feast, that last day of the feast, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow. Should you be looking at Jesus' belly? No. Again, spiritual what? Language. Now, if the waters he's talking about will be available at his what? Resurrection. Are we together? Resurrection. That's when you are available. So, what will belly now represent? What will what belly represent? You are free to talk. Talk, you are free. What will belly represent? The heart, yeah. The belly will represent resurrection now. Look at it again. He that believeth on me, as Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. Is that future? Is that future? For the Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When will Jesus be glorified? When he rises from the dead. So out of his belly will be from his what? Resurrection. Will come rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Are you piecing it together now? It's important. We understand this is God's wisdom. God's water is spirit. God's water is spirit. That's so important for us to understand. So we saw, destroy this temple. And on 3 days, I will what? Raise it up. Was he talking about physical temple? No. Which temple was he referring to? The temple of his body. So, it was in a physical temple. Was that the real temple? No. But he was speaking inside that other temple, which was a symbol. So, what man created is a symbol. Jesus is the real temple. Now, think about it. See how much damage man's wisdom has done on us. That till today, when we are coming to church, most people still have, I want to go and meet God. Till today, one of the most difficult aspects of the Christian message to communicate to the believer is that God lives inside of him. That you are the temple of the living. Paul kept saying, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that God lives in you. And God's temple, it became a reality in Christ Jesus. Man has always been God's temple. God has lived nowhere else. God that didn't need heaven to live in. You know what I'm saying? When you get to heaven, you go and meet God. How? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the heart. So God was before the beginning. So where was he living before the beginning? If he created the heaven and the earth, was before the beginning and the creation, it means he doesn't need heaven and earth to live. Hallelujah. So in the beginning, he planned that he would live where? In the hearts of men. It's so simple. Pastor, why did they build physical temple? Their unbelief. Because man's wisdom wants to confine God to a physical building. God is spirit. Where will God live? Inside spirit. Who is that spirit? You are that spirit today. I am that spirit today. Say amen. Is it getting clearer? Right. Luke 12, verse 10. We'll continue next week. I just want to drop something before we go. We're looking at God's definition, man's definition. Are we there? Luke 12. Okay. Because of our time, we shouldn't read everything. Let's just read one or two verses that are necessary. Luke 12, verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16. I read, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and then will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast what? Provided. This is a parable. Don't take it literally. It is a parable. When Bible says God said to him, this night your soul shall be required. It didn't mean God is one that required the soul. But are you paying attention? It's like the story of Hezekiah. The problem when you go and tell Hezekiah, prepare, put your house in order, for that shall surely die. That's not a prophecy to die. That's information. You will not recover from this sickness. So put your, listen, if God is going to kill you, listen, he will come and advise you to put your house in order. Okay? He will just die. God doesn't give warning. Listen. You know, because some things are just, some passages, okay, I was trying to explain to a minister, I was asking a question about, in Exodus, the story of Moses. It's a very funny passage that I said that, and God was trying to kill Moses. God is trying to kill you. Is it that you are dodging? And God was trying to kill Moses. And then the wife of Moses, now who claimed this circumcision, and threw the first king down. God is trying to kill. Is it that you are dodging? God is trying. He will try. He's like, he's chasing you. And now I'm like, yeah, I've watched too much cartoon. If you want to kill you, that is a manner of writing. That is what they taught. Moses' wife was not an Israelite. She She wasn't an Israelite. There was a way she taught. If you read that story history-wise, Moses was sick and didn't get well immediately. And any supernatural thing that happens like that, God is the one that is blamed for it. Hallelujah. So it was believed that, oh, because Moses was not circumcised, maybe that is why. No, let me. I will explain to you another time. Let's just leave that one for now. But I'm just saying that when you see something like that, God sent the prophet to go and tell Hezekiah that thou shalt surely die. Put your house in order. No, that is God warning Hezekiah. This sickness will end in death. Why is God informing him? So that he can pray. Pray so that God can intervene. What happened? Hezekiah prayed. What happened? God intervened. Very simple. Not that, God can decide the day you will die. He'll come and tell you. No, God is the author of life, not death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So, where are we now? Let's read verse 20 and 21 for context. 20. I will say to my soul, so you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink. But God said to me, thou food this night, your soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up what? Treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. What is man's definition of wealth? You store things up. What is God's definition of wealth? You give it out. Who is rich on the earth? The one that has the most lands. Who is rich in God? The one that is most generous. What the Bible calls the riches of the glory of the inheritance is what God freely, lavishly gives. So by man's definition, the wealthiest man on the earth can be the poorest man in the kingdom. Listen. If you are in Christ, I said something on Sunday when I was teaching about honor. If Jeff Bezos, is it Bezos now? If he comes here, if I use his money to treat him, he's not a Christian. I think he's a Buddhist. If I use his money to treat him with honor that I treat you, I'm following the wisdom of this world. That's what I'm doing. So it's easy to be swayed by the wisdom of this world. Now, there was nothing wrong in the man amassing wealth, the rich man here. So don't think God is against wealth. Nothing wrong. It is in his way of thinking that there was a problem. He wasn't rich towards God. How are you rich towards God? It is the release, the generosity in your heart in distribution. That is what God sees as wealth. How do men measure wealth? How much you can amass. How readily you can give out is how God measures wealth. That's why when he spoke about the church of Macedonia, he says, in their deep poverty, it has abounded unto the riches of their generosity. You know what God was saying? How can somebody have 2,000 naira? 2,000 naira, that is not enough for him. And he's giving 1.5. You have 2 million. You dropped 100,000. Who is richer before God? The one that dropped 1.5 from his 2,000 naira. So man's wisdom is dealing with us. He gave us 100,000. But God knows a man has 2 million. The measure of generosity is not the same. And generosity is how God measures wealth. Hallelujah. Are you following? That's how God measures wealth. So the one who has 2,000, drop 1.5, is very generous. Because God knows with 2 million he would have dropped 1.5 million. Can you see God's thinking is different from my own thinking? You just look at the amount. When nothing enters, they can't beam. They can't do beam. God bless that brother. That brother is generous. No, he's not generous. He's not rich towards God. That's Jesus' mindset. When that widow dropped the money and the amount the others gave was far more than she gave. But before God, she gave her all. She's richer than all of them before God. God's yardstick is different. That is God's wisdom. You now have to renew your mind to God's wisdom. And as we go on, I will show you. That's why in the book of Revelation, that church that was rebuked. You have said, I'm rich, not knowing that you are poor and wretched and blind. The church of Laodicea. You are not hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm, Bible language. Lukewarm is not You're not going for evangelism. You didn't pray. Didn't even be praying. He used that word because at that time, there was a particular confluence of waters in that particular locality of that church where cold and hot come together. So he said, you're neither cold nor hot. If you are cold, there's a use for cold water. There's a use for hot water. But this mixture is useless to us. So what he was saying, because that church was boasting in our account, we have millions in our account. We don't have any needs. We meet needs. So the church's boast was in their finances. Their boast was not in how many souls were won. It wasn't in how many people were taken care of. He says, you are poor. You have said, I am rich. Not knowing that you are poor, you are wretched, you are blind. That's Jesus who talking to them. Why? Because our boast must be in Christ alone. Because the money you are boasting in, people that are not in Christ have it. So that can be a basis. It is what they don't have that we have that we can boast. How many of you understand that? And we can boast in. We cannot celebrate a movie star that is not saved above a believer, because the real star is the believer. You have to allow God's word to reorient your mind. The real star is who? The believer is the real star. Everything the movie star represents will perish. The believer will live forever in Christ, and his works will follow him. So there has to be a reorient. That's why I say, the minute you get into this rat race that social media is putting people into now, you are gone. You are gone. And it is terrible when you now find out later that what you were envying was fake. That the person who is forming is actually forming. A story breaks out. I mean, you were feeling like, why was I born here? If only I'd been born by another set of parents, I would not be suffering like this. Imagine. How old is she? 22, married, 3 cars, mansion. You don't know where that person is suffering. They will not tell you. Everybody smiles on Instagram. It's a make-believe world. Listen. A businessman told me, said he went to the house of a wealthy man that had about 5 properties. Went to greet him and everything like that. When he was going, the wife took the back door to come and meet him. And if you have anything, you have just anything. He was like, what's going on? He took his hand, brought out 5,000. The woman nailed down. That's 5 properties. Listen, the properties are there. They are not making money. But you eat property. So you can have what people call wealth, and it's useless to you. You know, if you need 5,000 now, tonight, and I give you 50,000 on Sunday, you cannot say thank you. Like you say thank you now. I hope you know. I just hope you know. I hope you know. If I give you 50,000 on Sunday, I say, Pastor, oh, Pastor, I love you. But if I give you 5,000 now, that you need 5,000 now, if money does not have as much value as it does when it is available when you need it. With the pocket, with it's property. No. The woman was like, we have not even eaten today. And they have property. So you are looking at him outside. It's a property. But you have eaten. And there's no money to eat. That's how life really is. Don't let social media fool you. Everybody puts their best picture. Nobody puts picture when you wake up and everything is all upside down. You have not noticed. So when you allow those things to move you unnecessarily, you get moody, you get you that you have the joy of the Lord. You are not thinking of what you don't have. And when you think of what you don't have, you are forgetting what you have. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. This guy that they caught in Dubai the other time. I won't mention his name. He doesn't deserve to enter our sermon. How many people envied him? Plenty. Living like a king. A slave living like a king. A slave living like a king is still a slave. But you are kings in Christ Jesus. When his end came, the same way it was publicly celebrated, was publicly humiliated. Will you exchange position with him now? Where is? You won't. That's to let you know that social media world is a make-believe world. Don't be fooled by it. The true life is in Christ Jesus. Ha. Hallelujah. So let what Christ says, let it matter to you. Don't let other things that are passing, transient things matter to you. Stop comparing yourself. But listen, if you don't need to go to your old school, you know, don't go. Don't go. It's the way of the world. Before you are coming, you are already checking which car is he parking. What if I came by my foot on foot? And let me tell you something about people that are truly wealthy. If you have noticed people that are wealthy, they will come. They will have a solid car. They will deliberately come in a cab. It's deliberate. Because those who treat them well when they come that way are the real friends. They know. Those who are searching your finger to see whether you are now married. Okay. You're like, how now? He wants to see how to greet you. Carnality. You know, just with, have you seen ladies who meet you after 20 years? The first thing they're looking at is whether there's a ring there. What if I'm not wearing my ring? Have you seen those things? And if it's men, it's like, so, where do you work now? What's your business where I work? At least standards that will make you think less of your position in Christ. And yet, your position in Christ is what really matters the most. Those things that transcend their perishing. Look at what the rules of faith did. The Bible says they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So the material question did not matter to them. They were believing for the heavenly country where God is not ashamed to be called their God. Hallelujah. That's who we are too. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't let those kind of things get to you. Start comparing. By the time I'm 30, now I'm 30 something, I'm almost 40, I've not built my house. There's no award for building house at any age. No award. If you want to build at 60, there's no award. Those that have built 3 or 4, they are doing other things now. It doesn't mean they've achieved any major thing. That's what the standard. Christ is not going to give any medal for building house. So you have to be careful. You are not running a different race from one that is in Christ. Hear Solomon's testimony. How much money do you have compared to Solomon? Vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. So somebody said, let me have the money first, which is vanity. Believe the word of Solomon. Solomon says it's all what? Vanity. If Solomon should know, he should know that after you have the money, there's still no satisfaction. Only Christ can satisfy. Hallelujah. Be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged tonight. Be strengthened tonight. May wrong mindsets depart from you. Okay? May wrong goals that put pressure on your Christian walk, may those things be cast off from you in Jesus' name. May you be free to run your race in patience. May you be satisfied with Christ. That's what matters the most. Have goals, plan to achieve, but never get into heavy, never get into competition, never get into trying to, so to speak, you know, doing everything and anything possible to accomplish certain things. Those things are transcendent, they don't matter. What matters is your relationship with Christ Jesus. Let's start to have it tonight and give you all thanks and give him praise. And let's pray in the spirit. Let's pray in the spirit. Well, I don't know why the Spirit of God took us this direction, but I believe we needed to hear that. I believe we needed to hear that. And I know that hearts have been set free. I know hearts are healed tonight. And I know he's also preparing us for to come in here. Let what matters be what matters to you. Okay? Don't give in to the pressure of what people will say. Be very conscious and aware of what Christ will say. Pray in the spirit tonight, even as you give them. Pray in the spirit. We are spiritual beings. Let's pray. Yala shop stefrana stokoro. Engrus the sivrana to leglish the sisupro stefrana gaste. Estupro and the frat leglish the sigo sugrato. Ekugrus the fresh tisupro stefrana cate. Engrus the frana carlos tungo. Ungrish the susupro. Sevrende le prasto go goose the gear. Eki grish the susu. Gustafrana calangriste. Enzungrat ad pronangla kir. Eglish to grung the sivrostafrana catia. Engrus Hallelujah. We prayed the prayer yesterday. We're going to pray again. We're going to pray against negative cycles. Negative cycles. And we're praying that prayer. Now, you notice that when it comes to the prayer of the saints, there is something about intensity of that prayer that is commensurate to the manifestation of God's power involved. That means there's something about the intensity of our prayers, okay? And then the power of God that's in manifestation. Okay, there's a relationship between the two. So many times, some things are repeated cycles of oppression, affliction. You just notice that there's this repeated pattern along that line. And you're waiting. And some of us are waiting. One day God will deliver. No, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes one tremendous power of God available that is dynamic in its working. That means it's many-sided. It can produce, it can handle many things. So we're going to pray, because I knew yesterday we didn't finish praying that prayer. Not everything that was sorted. I know when it comes to things of the Spirit, you can continue next day. Hallelujah. So let's pray tonight in the name of Jesus. We stand against negative cycles. Negative cycles, afflictions, negative patterns in experience. In whatever area it may be in the life of the saints, whether it's the issue of health, marital life, child conception, the work of your hands, lost opportunities, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we and against a class to subrogate diga gala grig is every walk of darkness, a class to sabrana paku gala grig is take a city alas to guriga, a class to kushte lezusobrote vladash take is a we stand against a gagala griga by the power of God against every negative cycle, every negative experience, every form of affliction. We rebuke it, we command it to come to an end in the name of Jesus. E julo grash testo use fronanta la gige gige suzo grute e ni gengri esto gu grash tiasa e stronanga la gi e grios to gu la grash tika safro sto bro cobre gita nanti e ne nienga ya tiro shino bro ne fande caste kuzuko e le grash testo to gu grati ananga gati le gige e ku for the power of God it comes to an end. By the power of God it comes to an end. By the power of God we bring an end to such experiences. We bring an end to such occurrences. We bring an end to such patterns in the name of Jesus. We bring an end to such occurrences. We bring an end to such patterns. We bring an end to copraste le grise e kugrona sipe e no groha e briochico lengre koba lefreconi lingran ishto e subrongala landro kukes le grakati ligriestico livra gachto. Thank you. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Let's give him praise. Let's give him thanks. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. 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 Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Victory is manifest. Victory is manifest. Victory is manifest. We are grateful. We are thankful. Thank you by your mighty power. Some things have stopped. Some things have ceased to exist. Some patterns have stopped completely. In the name of Jesus, some patterns are broken. Negative patterns have come to an end. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise, Father. We exalt you. Our hearts are glad. Our hearts are glad. Our hearts are glad. Our hearts are glad. We give you praise. We glorify your name. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.